Good evening, students, and welcome to Season 3 of the Scrim School Scrimcast. I am your host, Bobby Sox. If you are new here, the way this works is we spend the first hour or so chatting with the teachers of the week.
I'm dead!
Ah! Then the second half of it, we run scrims with the teachers, pulling in viewers from chat. You guys get a chance to play with these goats, learn from them, ask your own questions. It is an open forum. Feel free to ask any question you have, type it. I will try and catch it. If I miss it, mods, I'm trusting you. Our guest this week, I'm super excited about. I've been trying to get him on for a long time, and our schedules just didn't line up. So, our guests are Elite Death and Mr. Phantom. Let's get them undeafened and get to know the teachers.
Did Gentlemen, you read the blog, though? Let's go.
Let's go. Let's start this off. Why don't you two introduce yourselves? Say who you are, what makes you tick, things you enjoy, and it gives people a chance to learn about you a little bit before we get into the nitty gritty.
I think I'll let my go to Elite go first.
Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Elite Death. I started streaming on Twitch and on Destiny 2 when COVID became really bad in 2020. I have been enjoying this time streaming on Twitch and playing this game. I've watched it grow, watched it fall. What makes me tick is just how much this game has changed, whether good or bad. And yeah, you know, can't wait to get this started. Can't wait to talk to y'all and interact with y'all.
Yeah, this will be a good time. All right, Mr. Phantom, kick it off.
I would say I'm not much of a streamer, pretty on and off. Been trying recently to grow the stream, been trying to get a schedule, been trying to make a little bit of a community and make a positive community, one with, you know, that can handle jokes. But I would say for the most part, I got into Destiny because of Destiny, or Destiny 2 because of Destiny 1. It's just a game I transferred over to and I stuck with. I mainly only do PvP. You'll never see me doing PvE. That's just my grind. I just like to get better and get up the kill count. And also, you know, I've known Elite for a long, long time as well. So that's dope.
I like it. Cool. So let's get it started with a fun one. Trials this weekend, because I have Elite stream up and it's showing trials. How'd you feel about it? What'd you like? What didn't you like? And obviously the loot.
I mean, it's always going to be, you know, on the first week of trials, everyone's going to go in there and play. What Bungie did right for once is they actually gave us a good map and good loot. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we've had like a SMG meta for a while now. So, you know, it was just a kind of a, I mean, it was kind of crazy, you know, the Immortal 750. Yeah. So, you know, I was like, you know, when I saw the map and weapon, I was like, oh, here we go. This is going to be fun. And then I was like, man, this is getting ridiculous at this point because it was just Immortal everywhere. You know, it was all over the place.
Yes.
It got like, what, 11 million kills. So,
yeah,
I mean,
the closest one was like 4 million, I think, or 6 million.
And that was like Kellos. So, I mean, I don't know. We have some work to do in terms of that. But overall, I mean, you know, it was a fairly good weekend, in my opinion. On the other hand, I got tilted. I was not really having much fun. Just barely because of just how the fact how it was everywhere. And just, again, how, you know, abilities kind of come into play there. But overall, I mean, it was all right.
Phantom, how you feel about it?
I didn't really get much chance to play. I only got a card on Friday, so I didn't actually get to, you know, run in to the Immortal spam. I didn't, nobody really the SMG. I went Flawless for Scars, so for the most part, I think the week went well, but based off the fact that so many people have the Immortal, so many people have Ikelos, and we are in an SMG meta, I can see the Crucible getting a little bit annoying, especially in Iron Banner. I've definitely seen the impact of so many people having such a good rolled SMG, mm-hmm. you know, readily available, and one that you can buy the normal version of from Same 4T.
Which is still really, really good. And I think people don't really notice that. They think that it has to be adept or bust, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I have a couple of friends that were playing and they didn't get the adept roll that they wanted. But they got the non-adept roll that was the god roll for them. And the difference is like a meter and a half range, 2 meters, I think.
I think rangefinder is just like, it's becoming overrated. Like, I don't think on this SMG you needed rangefinder. I think for me, it was kind of throwing me off a little bit having Range Finder on it, but yeah. I don't know.
Prior to Trials, I went through D2 Gunsmith, and I ended up looking through rolls, and on paper, without Range Finder, you know, 25 meters of range for damage fall off, and like, it just, I don't think you need Range Finder, even if you have a mid-roll,
yeah,
range, like SMG, as long as you're hitting like 70, 75, you'll be fine, because then that's sitting around Ikelos, and that's one of the best 750s in the game.
Yep. I have one with mine came with recoil rounds, keep away, and target lock. And it slaps. I can get it to like 82 range. It's,
you see, dumb. Yeah, no, I had a keep away, but I didn't really think it was that good of a perk. But I think I just made a mistake in trashing that, because I might think that keep away is better than rangefinder, in my opinion. And when it comes to target lock, I mean, I don't know. I think target lock is more of a controller based like perk, just because of how like you have to stay on the target. And since controller has that pretty good tracking, especially on SMGs, I think target lock is more of a controller perk than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, even I could agree with that 100%. But I feel like, and I'm speaking just from listening on this one, I feel like target lock on MNK is still relevant just because of the added damage buff as long as you're on target. I mean, the TTK on it is the most wild thing I think I've ever seen.
Agreed.
Like, it's hitting kill clip rate of TTK without having to reload. That's wild to me, you know? Overall, I had a great time. I played so much Trials this weekend, and I had a blast.
I'm jealous.
Trying to go for it. Dude, it was... I ended up just jumping in. I ran, and I tested solos, duos, and trios. And that's definitely something that I wanted to ask. Obviously, Phantom, you don't have a ton of...
I did get a chance in trio, and I did get a chance to duo in the Flawless Pool.
Okay. Okay, cool. So that's a big one that I want to touch on, because, I mean, we keep getting all these different matchmaking changes, right? It feels like we have a matchmaking change every single season. What do we think of Fireteam based?
It's interesting. You know, I was playing solo to begin with, and I was like, man, this is... What I liked about it was how, like, hard the game was trying to find more solos for you. Mm-hmm. Every other game, I would get, like, a duo and all that, but I never once got, like, a triple, which was good. So I feel like they're heading in the right direction in terms of getting, like, you know, the Fireteam-based matchmaking. The only thing that I didn't like is I still feel like the lobby balancing is a little bit too strong, because I was getting, like, games where I would get teammates that I don't even think they know what they're doing, and then I would, you know, it would just seem unenjoyable, because it feels like you're just doing a double carry, even though you're not doing a carry. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I do. I completely understand what you're saying. Did you get a chance to play duos or trios?
Yeah, duos was definitely the way to go. Like, if you were going to, like, attempt to carry, it was definitely duos. I think trios, I did trios, and it was basically, like, that's where, like, the sweats were, in my opinion, mm-hmm. were the trios. But if you were going to do, like, a carry, I think a duo was the way to go.
I definitely agree. Fantiv, what you got?
I would say duo, both in Flawless Pool, when even non-fall, or I guess prior to Flawless Pool, when I was three-stacking that first card, I think carries are doable, but for the most part, those three stacks are going for it. They're going to be playing together, and you know the person you're helping, it just isn't good enough to stick with you. It could be really difficult. But from also looking on paper and from what Elite said, because I didn't get enough experience, it seems that both their stats line up from the blog post on, you know, roughly fire team based matchmaking, matching you with the same size fire team. With, like, mm-hmm. the exception of being solo, where sometimes it has to fill you in, because that's just how it works.
You know what, though? I ran... My goal was to run a lot of testing, right? I wanted to mm-hmm. see how it would play out. And I heavily tested solo, and I heavily tested duo. And solo, I found that if I did get duos in the lobby, it was two duo teams and then two solos. So it wasn't like it was stacked against you with, you know,
no.
three solos on your team and then a duo and a solo on the other team.
And that's kind of the same way Iron Banner works. You know, if when you match, you know, you go in as a five stack, you're going to match another five stack and you're going to match two solo. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily going to... But also, I don't believe Trials has SBM. It's just card-based for the most part.
It is. It's card-based and it's lobby balancing. They talked about that in the PvP blog.
which I'm guessing is more true skill matchmaking.
Yes, which we're definitely going to get into that. That's going to be a big one. Elite, I don't know if you got a chance to read the PvP blog at all from today.
I've been like skimming through it as we're talking.
Good, good, because there was a ton of info in there that I definitely want to touch base on. But while you're still skimming through it, let's stick on the Trials convo for just a little bit longer. Let's talk counters, because this is a school. This is a school on how to get better at PvP. What were you finding that worked well to counter against this SMG meta? And what stood out to things that you just could not put a beat on?
Maybe what I should have done this weekend is played more range on the SMGs. I mean, everyone's using them, so they're going to want to try to get close to you. I believe if like you were like a sniper or more of a hand cannon main, I think you're going to have like a better time doing this meta, because everyone's just going to try to get close. Like, that's just the thing about it. This weekend, I didn't really do well on that. I probably should have played more range on people, but I thought I was going to get inside the action and just use an SMG. But I mean, I played okay, but sometimes there were games where I would just get out TTK'd and I just didn't know what to do. So,
oh yeah, I feel that.
I mean, I probably would have like enjoyed playing range on these guys. I don't know. But definitely, you know, when you're fighting like a lot of SMGs, like, play range.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely, it's definitely a good suggestion. Especially with the TTK on these things lately. Fantiv, what have you found to counter this SMG meta that we're in?
It's right honestly now? Kind of the same. Like, Elite 7K, I'm controller, but I also play aggressive, but as a sniper, and he plays aggressive as a shotgunner. It kind of is that same thing where you really do have to play your range, play patient, and play your team shots. Because if you like, I learned real quickly trying to go in for the ego peaks on the SMG players just wasn't it. Trying to do any hero moment, trying to go for a flank, trying to do anything that you would do as a sniper just would not work with Jav 4 mixed in with just so many SMGs well within their, you know, optimal TTK. It's just very easy to get team shots. So definitely play your distance and stick with your team. Like, you gotta stick with your team, especially if you're not running an SMG yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Overall, though, I did think it was a really good weekend.
Best weekend in a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely had plenty of players, for sure.
My concern is, one, how this is going to play, how fire team-based matchmaking is going to play when we're at the end of the season, right?
And that's a very good point. Like, we all know, you know, I mean, it's Destiny. You know, Destiny does hit a little bit of a lull towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're just right on that, because I just don't know, like, if the population is going to affect that. That might, like, affect matchmaking times or something. I don't know. Or just might go to the point where just it's just all sweats and carries back out. Or, I mean, I just don't know. It's a very good observation. Like, I don't really know until we're going to get there, but that is something to think about. That's a good point. Like, I didn't think about that.
What's your hopes on it?
I'm hoping that Bungie just, like, takes, like, notes. Like, on first weeks of Trials, like, even last season, we did not get a good, not last season, but last DLC, the Witch Queen, when they had their first weekend of Trials, it was not as good as this weekend. This was the best weekend of Trials since they introduced that new Trials rubric and all that.
Yep.
And this was with the Flawless pool as well. So it was like, you know, it was like an eye-opener for me.
People are willing to play Flawless pool.
And that's the thing. It's because, you know, Bungie, the thing that Bungie needs to do and needs people to understand, they need to make it to where you want to go Flawless. They want to make it to where, you know, going Flawless has like a rewarding feeling. See, like, because sometimes in these Trials weeks, like, there's just no incentive to go Flawless. There's no point. The only reason you're going to go Flawless is, you know, you're done with your carries, basically. Because that's all you see towards, like, you know, end season. It's just, you know, streamers doing carries. And then they'll do their Flawlesses on Monday or Sunday, you know? They just, you know. But I hope with this week, or not this week, this DLC and these seasons, is Bungie, you know, continues to take these notes on how they can make people want to play Trials based on loot and or map. Because, I mean, Javelin's a great map. Javelin's like everyone's favorite map. And, you know, you have a brand new SMG. We're in the middle of a 750 SMG meta. I mean, it was a really good start for Bungie. But another thing on how Bungie needs to do this is, you know, they still need to do some tuning on this. I mean, abilities and with the high TTKs of SMGs was, I mean, I don't know, it kind of mixed up my feelings. But overall, you know, you just, in terms of like performance of like, you know, trials, populations, and encouraging people to play, it was really good.
I agree. And there was, so I don't know if y'all noticed this or not, but there was one little minute thing that Bungie did that not a lot of people caught until the end of it. You could still farm for the SMG with a flawed card if you had been flawless.
That I don't agree with.
I liked it. I'm going to be honest. I went flawless 3 times, I think, and then I just spent on a ferocity card. I spent the other
next day. I don't think that's been a thing for a while. Once you're in flawless pool, like, as long as you gain your
it's
flawless.
Been a thing, but they kind of like it. It worked really well on
it. It's already been a thing, but like the whole point.
Also, nobody ever went into flawless pool before.
Right, that's true. Flawless pool before was just the most horrendous place ever.
Like the base point, like the touch base, the base point of Trials of Osiris should be to go flawless.
Mm-hmm.
When you have like these ways to where you don't need to achieve the main goal of the game mode, it's just kind of degrading to the overall health of the game mode.
I agree.
And Trials isn't for everyone, so like vice versa, you also need to make those that aren't, you know, carry streamers or looking for carries have like loot worthwhile. Their time is worth, you know, they may not have gone flawless, but you know, it was worth their time. It was an absolute waste of effort. At the same time, making them feel rewarded, even if they couldn't get the best loot, the best armor, the adept roles, like it's still ensuring that those people, you know, like their time is well spent, that their time is rewarded for the effort. And the goal, you know, is obviously to keep getting closer and closer and better and better. And you know, eventually you make it to the lighthouse. But
absolutely.
But I think they've done it over the past couple of years. They've done a better job at ensuring, you know, those that couldn't get flaws, either by making flaws easier or just giving other options for loot. Because I will say, like,
okay, see, I'm gonna agree with that. It is not necessarily like making it easier to go flawless, but definitely giving more options for loot. That's something. Yep. I'm gonna agree with you on that, fans of, like, I don't think going flawless should be easier, but I do think if you're struggling, you still have a chance to obtain the loot.
I mean, that
like
is
it
why
was
flawless pool is created.
When we had the 357 flawless thing, I kind of like that just because. But again, then I, you know, kind of was like, oh, then you don't need to go flawless for what you want. But again, you know, that's what I think about it. I mean, flawless pool is just a joke. I'm sorry. I will never, ever agree with anybody that wants to tell me that flawless pool is good.
I believe we're
you.
Having labs of non-flawless or flawless will be removed sometime.
Speaking of which, that is a season. Perfect roll into our PvP blog. I like that little transition. So, those of you in chat that are, if you're not aware, we had a Bungie PvP blog today. It was a ton of info. Like, I think I spent a good half hour, 45 minutes reading through it. But one of the big ones that I want to touch base on, and I'm definitely going to get the teacher's opinions on this one, is Season 21. They said they are testing a different style of matchmaking that removes the flawless pool completely. And I want to get my wording right on this because, like I said, it was a lot of info. So let me grab it real quick. That's checkmate. Where are we at? Here we are. Okay. So there is the practice pool, which is a pool targeted to new or less experienced players, players who are not yet ready to get going flawless a shot, and represents a place for them to dip their toes into trials without being thrown into the deep end. This pool has stomp protection and farming protection. And that's an interesting, interesting thing to me. No, so it's not SBMM. That's the cool part. It is purely win-based.
A different pool. Yeah.
It's win-based. Then that's a very specific thing there. Because previously we had card-based, where you match people on your card. This is a win-based system where even if you reset your card, if you have 100 wins, it's still going to keep you out of that pool. You're not going to go back and be able to farm on 1-win, 2-win resets. How do y'all feel about that?
So is the pool, from my understanding, activated based on true skill, from what I'm reading? Is based on your performance for the week, kind of determines what sort of pool you're throwing into?
No.
Is that my understanding or not?
So there's the two pools. There's the challenger pool and there is the practice pool. Basically, the practice pool is for the kindergartens that keep losing. The guys that are 1 in 100, right? But the challenger pool, it says, and I quote, "This is where most players who currently play trials on a week-to-week basis and who want to go flawless will play. It represents an experience more like the original iteration of Trials in Deep 1. Without the focus on making games more difficult as the card progresses or after you have been flawless, this pool matches based solely on connection."
That's interesting.
There's no matchmaking based.
Why wouldn't you want it to be matchmaking based?
That's how the games should get harder. It's because the higher up the pyramid you go.
Mm-hmm. Like a tournament bracket.
That's my question. Is that a tweak to make flawless slightly more obtainable to more skill levels?
I think so. I think it's become more crapshoot on.
They also added an extra loss in the mercy.
I think luck is going to play a big part in this.
Yeah. Luck is going to be huge.
Mercy lets you lose two games now?
Only on your first card.
Those are big things. Those are huge changes.
It says if you have not been flawless this week, your first card, if you have not been flawless, I think. I don't know.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, these changes are great, but I guess the enjoyment is always going
to
be determined by the
meta.
But
once you go flawless, it reverts back to a single. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Solely connection, to me anyway, is a huge win. I play at 4 o'clock in the morning. My connections are
See,
so
that's
scuffed.
The thing. So, like...
And I as well. I play Demon Hours most of the time. And
yeah.
I don't do carries, so it's not usually an issue for me. But I think for the other people, it would just be a great idea, giving accessibility to flawless.
Without dedicated servers, how is this going to work? It's like, who's going to base the connection on?
My guess is from one of the previous is either going to be proximity or strongest connection in the lobby.
Mm-hmm. It's usually like a mix between region and then the person, you know, like who's closest to all the people within the lobby plus connection.
Mm-hmm.
It will kind of choose a connection.
You may have outliers, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're queuing up, like I queue up with Aussies a lot, right? So I'm sure I'll end up in Aussie lobbies sometimes and they'll end up in US lobbies. But if you're still queuing with, like, say, if all West Coasters are queuing with all West Coasters, then connections should be good.
So I have a question about practice pool. So it says only players with a flawed card or those on their first game of the week can play in the pool. So everyone's going to start out in the practice pool.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So everyone's going to start out in a easy pool to go flawless?
And because of mercy on first card and the adding... I don't think it's all the way to flawless, though.
No. My guess is because they said
exactly. It's like when do you get taken out of practice? No, but it says first game of the week. So would you like if you kept winning games, it would put you in the challenger pool after like how many games or how well would you have to do before it switches you? Like would you know? Or you just suddenly, you know, fight bad players like your first two and then all of a sudden it's like sweats the next two. I don't understand how that's going
to
work.
You know, granted, I guess, you know, Bungie, it does need to be put into practice before it can be.
If you're consistently struggling.
I agree. I think this is going to be one of those wait and sees, but it sounds like.
This is hard to test
without.
Like,
it looks good on paper, but I don't know how it's going to work.
It's definitely going to be tweaked throughout. Like, you know, it's one of those things that is brand new, and they got to. There's only so much they can do as devs. You know, they need a larger player pool.
So this is strictly going to be win-based. Strictly win-based. Mm-hmm. See, no, they did this a while back on...
Weekend?
Yeah, and that was Widow's Court. And that was so bad because it didn't take account into your losses. And so no matter how many wins you had, like, say you reached, like, a certain threshold of wins, you were fighting sweats even though you weren't playing good.
So
I remember this going
in there. Oh god,
horrible.
I remember that weekend.
See,
I remember
matching Gold Eagle, Jake, Zorn, yeah. Like, over and over and
Widow's
over
weekend
and...
was rough. It was basically just a tourney, but it was fun. The wording in here, and from being around Bungie for this long, they didn't say win-based. They said connection-based, specifically. Which is very fascinating.
But
to
when
me,
I also
usually
look
say
at the practice pool, it always says, I guess it also asks, you know, like, as well as your performance per the week.
Well, how are you going to separate determined. The pools if you don't have, like, based on, like, wins or skill or whatever? I don't understand this. Like, I'm getting in a little
my
bit
guess
of a,
is it's
a spiral
taking
here
true because... skill true skill into account plus.
But they're not basing hard. It on skill. It says they're not basing it on wins, on a ticket, skill, weekly wins, tickets.
Yeah, it's an interesting
it's
one.
Connection. So it's like, so how are you going to separate these pools if you're
well,
not going to base it on...
The pool says this pool matches based on connection and weekly performance, how well you've done, trials...
So yeah, it's basing on your wins and skills. So it is
true skill matchmaking and wins to determine which pool you're in is I guess, my understanding.
I think the big part of it is it's basically stopping people from...
Yeah.
When
you're able to sort of switch like a smurf in a sense, I guess. Or you farm staff.
Yeah, exactly. Because people, you know.
It removes those people that really shouldn't be there, you know,
mm-hmm.
from being there.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it works. If this mixed with fire team based matchmaking, I honestly think it could be a really, really good thing for trials. Because it's completely gets rid of the flawless pool, stops
should,
people from when resetting.
They should definitely do more loud. They should like make these
and
pools
it opens
like,
more players and more skill levels to have a you know a chance at flawless. As
well, it
as
says been... that it's going to be a lab. It's it, they didn't say they
yeah.
were just going to throw it in and call it good.
No, flawless pool is
a
lab
that people need
for
to understand.
One week as well.
Right,
it's a soft pool, so like there still could be times where you're going to fight. Like if a bad player, there's still going to be times where they could fight a sweat team because it's a soft pool. So this is
or
not going to be a
always
perfect
based
system.
On RNG in a sense, like you know, like it, obviously, as you progress through the card, you know the games are, you know, in theory supposed to get harder.
Well, they should be. That's just how it should work.
Yeah. And
Momax says that Elite's going to go back to the practice pool depending on how many keyboards he breaks.
We'll see about that. Most likely,
it'll be keyboard based match.
But they also seem to. They've kind of been embracing the carry thing as well because they seem to even also mention that in their tweaking the trials as well for those that, you know, are seeking carries and doing carries and also trying to avoid those that are, you know, given incentive to not reset your card as well.
Yeah, I mean, I like
well,
it.
See,
honestly.
And see, that's the thing I said earlier is that they want people to go flawless. They want you to go flawless. They want to bring back the core game mode of trials back because. Yeah. For the longest time, it's always been big streamers do carries all weekend, and then they go flawless a few times.
Yep. But now if everybody is in the challenger pool, because it based off of the people's wins themselves.
You know, pushes those to not always see carry, you know, try to go for themselves as well.
So if you're doing carries and all that, like, so if you get to somebody that's not that good flawless, like, does that up their skill when doing a carry? And so, will it put them into harder games because they've gotten carried and they've won games, so now their skill rating goes up?
I would say yes, honestly.
Well, see, that's just... I mean, that's just...
Also, I think they're trying to incentivize not...
Doing carries.
Not to do carry or see carry.
Yeah. They're trying to make it so that carry culture... Because carry culture, in a nutshell, I'll run with friends and I'll help people out and stuff like that. But the idea of carry culture is a pretty, how do I word this right?
One-sided.
It's one-sided, and most of the time, it's kind of a negative experience for the person going flawless. Not always. Don't get me wrong. There's Sherpas that are fucking phenomenal, right?
But it can be very stressful for,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And it's very stressful for the person doing the carry. And then it's very stressful for the person that is getting carried.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it brings a negative experience upon both parties, especially when, you know, you struggle or do like a few cards with it. And it's like, I don't know. But, you know, we say this how Bungie's trying to strive away from the carry culture and all that. But each of the titles, you know, basically says that you need to carry. So... I'm not sure what Bungie wants people to do. Is do you
I don't
want
know. I think Bungie
people
is
to carry
kinda,
or do you not want people to carry? Like, make up your
Bungie
mind.
Bungie kind of seems to, you know, change their mind between making the game harder, other things attainable, making things easier. And I just.
Trials should always be hard.
It's just
trials should always be hard.
Like, trial and error, tweaking, changing. Mm-hmm. Some of it's right, some of it's incorrect, and it's just not everything's gonna be consistent. It's kind of just destiny, you know. It's
now for the not fun part of this trials part. Did you read the last line of the trials portion? Because the last line talks about them testing a new version of Zone Trials Dominion.
They need to get rid of Zone Trials. It's not even Zone Trials. It's a zone taken from control, slapped into Trials. It's not like a special zone. It's like the special
zone capture elimination.
Like there's no special zone that they've made up for Trials. It's literally a zone taken from a different game mode, slapped into this one that has absolutely no meaning. Otherwise, pop well or bubble, say goodbye to the round, say goodbye to the game. It's over. You know,
And Zone Trials doesn't always work because there's a lot of maps that aren't symmetrical. And so when Zone Trials comes around, there's a lot of maps that just are immediately out of rotation.
Yeah, exactly. Some times on the map, based on where you spawn and based on where the zone is, one or the other team could have the advantage and it's over. If they have a bubble or a well, it's over. You just watch the game end. And
that's why Jab 4 is not in zone rotation. What are you supposed to do?
What does Bungie expect players to do? You see... a Warlock or a Titan go up there and you have no supers, you're just about to get them, you have 30 seconds till zone pops up, they pop their well and bubble, and
bubble,
you're just
bubble,
watching
well.
The game end. You're just watching the game end.
Zone Trials was an incentive
and that's just frustrating.
Move, but just simultaneously Bungie developed the meta in which people don't move. It's like a Band-Aid game mode for something they created.
Here's what I believe they could have done is call it Trials Labs Flash and just give it a fast round. 30-second round. Boom.
That would
have been better than a zone. I mean, because there's a zone regardless. So if you want to have faster games, just lower the clock. Have it a fast clock.
And I think that's what people were suggesting originally.
And that will force them. You'll be forced to play zone or forced to push them. Instead of just sitting in the back of the map with no time, waiting for zone, charging up supers, and then end game rounds, supers. It's just not fun.
I agree.
And it being elimination and also being about, staying alive as well. You do need to give an incentive. And I think the easiest one is just reducing the time and the round time to make people push, make the game most fun. Because nobody enjoyed, season 14 as somebody as a Chaos Reach first round because they sat there for 90 seconds. Definitely reducing the round timer would have been a better option than developing another version of something that nobody likes.
Mm-hmm. That's a concern
on maps that don't, and so on very limited map options as well.
This is going to be great to roll into as well. Fantiv is on point with the rolling. Part of the blog talked about maps, and that was a big one for me. It was earlier in it. Let me see if I can find it. They said that they were reshaping some of the laner maps. They said they were cutting off and putting barriers on some of the laner maps to make them more symmetrical, I guess. And on top of that, changing the spawn locations to make
players closer. Which I thought was a great idea.
Closer. I think that's a phenomenal idea.
The last time I remember them specifically mentioning it was Dagcliffs in season 8 when they removed it for a season and then the spawns were still atrocious. So I'm glad that they're finally tweaking the spawns.
It was Exodus Blue, and the zone was on the enemy team side, in the tunnel where the heavy is. It was on their side, and I remember spawning in, and it was on their side, so we couldn't even get there in time.
Yep. Between finding spawn locations, happening to die in the wrong spot, and then spending the entire time spawning with the enemy team. That's definitely a good idea to be able to, tweak in that. It doesn't necessarily, pertain to trials, but especially within sixes, spawns.
You could add on to the spawn locations, not just in trials, but, say Eruption. Remember when we were putting Eruption on Disjunction? Mm-hmm. And you would get erupted, and they'd spawn on the far side of the map, where you just simply couldn't get there in time, and you just die.
Especially with just Rift Disjunction as well. Even it didn't matter if it was Sixes Rift or Comp Rift. If you just die, it would just throw you on the opposite side of the map, and you're just what do?
Yep.
Nothing.
You just sit there and watch. And that's something that they addressed, and they saw it, which is surprising.
They made such big maps but also reduce the ability for movement at the same time. It's like, it's just, well, also like putting the spawns in seemingly opposite like places that make any sense. So I'm glad that they're tweaking it.
I agree. I think overall this blog was fucking phenomenal.
I just pray that it's good. I just pray that, you know, they put, you know, word to action is what I'm praying for. I mean, because we've had this before where Bungie posts something that looks really, really good, and then it's just, it's executed so poorly, and it's like, man.
Or we get an, oh, by the way.
That's exactly.
That's the worst. That gets me still.
See, what worries me is like, they could be executed well, but for me, it's always meta. Always meta that's going to determine any of it in the first place. Like, just whatever the meta is going to be, is, it doesn't matter if the best thing ever. If Trials, just the meta isn't fun, it doesn't matter.
I guarantee you right now, Bungie knows what the meta is. They know exactly what the meta is.
Oh, God. I would say...
Oh, ever so oppressive stompies, you know?
They would be completely blind if they didn't see the Trials
So what comes... So, I mean, this is just like a general question, but what comes next after this meta? Are we going to go back to hand cannons, or is something else is going to come out?
Because like, what I originally saw was like, is like, they kind of like, in season like 8, they kind of dedicated every season to slightly forcibly tweaking the meta from hand cannons to auto rifles, you know, the 120s, you know, removing 150s. But like, through all of like Witch Queen, like Beyond Light still kind of stuck with that rotation of metas and kept it fun, because, you know, movement was still a thing. We didn't have AE, the worst thing to ever exist ever. It just wasn't developed well. It's like PvP was not developed with fun in mind, in my opinion.
They keep pushing trace rifles. I see.
I have noticed that. Trace rifles and blades.
And they're giving trace rifles another buff. Is what I'm understanding. They're trying, man. They really want trace rifles to be... They want laser tag to come back.
Oh, no, we don't.
I really hope not, but...
Like, I don't know, but, like, this meta, like, with the SMG meta was also, like, it wasn't it was not the fault of, like, buffing or changing the gun itself. It just happened to be making one of the most slept-on archetypes. Nobody ever used Ikalos prior to this season. Like, you saw the one or two people, like, maybe Unspoketh or, like, a Zorbik or somebody, like, occasionally, and it just...
But it was still an SMG, though. Like, that's the thing. It was, like, it was creating just, a bigger
and people
problem.
People always said, even during the 600 meta and, like, season, like, 600 SMG meta,
oh,
like, 750s are great, but was there an option? Was Shire's, or not, but there wasn't really a 750 option, and so then you make one of the best guns, time to kill archetypes, readily available, and then just vice versa.
Well, see, that's the problem, is that they make these meta weapons readily available to everyone, and then
got nerfed, like, SMGs, like, two or three times at this point, and then they introduced Immortal, another 750, and it's just, like, this meta just kind of was just not created because they buffed, but they just happened to give a weapon that, you know, just wasn't available.
Absolutely. I want to go back to what Elite was saying with the hand cannon meta, if they're going to make a hand cannon meta.
I hope so.
But I doubt. And the reason being is, if you guys know me, I like to stir the pot on Twitter. Every once in a while, I'll throw out a comment about hand cannons just to assess the waters.
You 180 lover, man.
I'll just comment on hand cannons. In a nutshell, I was like, hey, we need hand cannons, right? My comments are all hand cannons had their time. Hand cannons are still fantastic. Hand cannons are still this. Hand cannons are still that. People are like, I don't want hand cannons. I don't. And they get mad about it. You know what I mean? They get mad.
I would love them to come back.
I think that hand cannon sentiment just comes from the accuracy, because back in Destiny 1, anybody get optimal with PD.
Play hand cannons
two body,
like,
one head, you get optimal TDK, but like with hand cannons, you had to be precise. And I think it just comes down to just not being able to aim. It really is.
People would say hand cannons are the easiest weapon to use in the game. Have the fastest TDK, and I call bullshit. I will call bullshit to the day I die. Yes, they have the fastest TDK. Optimal. If you hit all headshots at peak range.
And hand cannons benefited greatly from, you know, not A existing, because they weren't the optimal range. They weren't the you know, the optimal fastest time to kill, and having that, you know, versatile movement, being able to get in there, you know, being able to outplay your opponent by not, you know, just getting RNG'd because you press like space bar or jump, mm-hmm. also contributed to hand cannons being good as well, but also kind of nerfed them with the introduction of AE.
I think people are just too burned on dying to hand cannons.
Yeah.
And that's where they're at now, right? They're so over dying to hand cannons that they think that every hand cannon is the easiest thing to use in the game, and it's not. That being said, I don't think Elite said he would be right back. He is having some PC issues. I don't think that hand cannons need another meta. I think some other things need to be tuned in a little bit, you know?
And the rule of the 150s was a good start to kind of take them out of the absolute meta and allowing other weapons to shine, maybe not being the top pick, but allow them to have a fighting chance, you know? Getting like mapped by like a spare rash and like at 150 RPM, you know? Kind of did put pulses out of, you know, being able to be a pulse rifle. And so like I think that was a smart idea, but I don't know. It's just interesting. I think hand cannons kind of got shafted, and it really is just AE for me.
SMGs really are that the ability right now.
That they are.
So Dreadnought, I saw your question about favorite meta. I'm gonna wait until Elite gets back, and then we'll ask that one. In the meantime, Fantiv, I don't know if you saw.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Perfect timing, actually. We'll come back to that question in a minute. So Dreadnought had a question, since we're still talking metas. What was your favorite meta in Destiny's history?
In Destiny and Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, or just Destiny 2?
We'll go Destiny 2 because it's relevant. I mean,
I would say it would have to be Season 9 for me. Season of Dawn, there were some outlying issues. It was the season prior to, you know, aggressive frame fusions having like 80 meter kill range with air intel. But otherwise, for the most part, there was a lack of abilities. It was pretty streamlined between hand cannon and shotguns. And, you know, it just felt good. You didn't get RNG'd. It was just a good meta. There were a few options. Mm-hmm. It was the most balanced I think the game could have been. Like, people always obviously argue Forsaken, but, you know, I wasn't around there in Forsaken. So for me, Season 9 was definitely the most enjoyable time for me.
Okay.
For sure. And especially because I came into the game in Season 8. Season 9, you know, I was able to still kind of stick with my hand cannon sniper playstyle mm-hmm. from Destiny 1, and I felt comfortable within the meta, felt comfortable with the movement. Didn't feel like I just got bullshitted, with the exception of air intel. I think just Season 9 was a good meta. And it gave some really good weapons as well. It introduced in Season 9, like Paradox came back. There was new Waveframe GL, Mars Retribution also was introduced. So mm-hmm. it gave a little bit of variety to Crucible.
I agree. Elite, what you got? What was your favorite meta?
I mean, I got to go with the 120 meta. I think that was just the most...
Really?
Yes, I think that was just the most enjoyable meta.
I agree. It was enjoyable. It's not my favorite.
I mean... What made
Stasis
it fun,
never bothered me at the time.
Well, what made it fun was, I mean, how, like... There was, like, a lot of one-on-ones to be had. Team shotting was obviously one of the main things that was kind of creating issues. But overall, like, it was really fun to have a one-on-one.
You could create a hero moment. Mm-hmm. You had those abilities to split. You had those abilities to make your own.
You had abilities to play your own game. It wasn't really
You didn't. It wasn't
more like
team-based.
You have
it
to worry about somebody using something annoying. It was like where if you got caught in a fight, it was just you and them, and it was really it just came down to like who was the better player, considering the fact that 120s are a little bit more difficult to use with the high recoil and the low stability. So I really think that like if you got caught in a 120. Fight with somebody, it was really just came down who was the better player.
And
there was a lot of a lot of 120 clips that people had, and it was just fun. I mean, it was just enjoyable. People weren't sitting in the back of the map, they weren't, you know, just spamming their abilities. They were actually getting up in there fighting the mid-range fights, and it was just a lot of fun.
And you know, that also comes with like the more abilities you add, like it just also simultaneously pushes those that aren't comfortable with their movement, you know, or their situation, whereas you play even farther back. The more shit you add is just like I don't want to push like somebody now. Like it's so hard to ego peek as a sniper now with just the
it's hard to ego peek anything
and you get
because everything has such a high
more abilities. Like they add more abilities to create like the idea of moving forward, but it also simultaneously does the exact opposite. Because like the more that you have to worry about, you know, like the less likely you're going to push because there's just so much information you have to think about.
People want
to
talk about how Hankin is such a high TTK. I mean, everything has high TTK in the game now. Everything.
It really
SMGs,
does.
The sidearms.
The creep. The TTK creep has been really, really aggressive over the
SMGs shouldn't really have that fast.
And the thing was, like, SMGs is one of those things that we're selling because like, there's nobody. Like 750s, they're always there. They never, like, they got, I think, buffed with the 600s, but like nobody ever used them because they weren't,
they got nerfed,
yeah, and they just weren't used because they got outshined by, you know, 600s, and there just wasn't any good 750s, and you know, the one that was good just wasn't really farmable. And so like this meta just kind of happened from just the fact that they gave a really good weapon, you know, the ability to be farmed both in last season and now this season with the even better version in the kinetic slot with a mortal.
I agree. I absolutely agree. We are coming up on the hour. Chat, if you have any other questions you want to ask the teachers directly, feel free to type. I will try and catch them. We'll try and get through the last 10 minutes or so as a Q&A. Then we jump into the scrim portion. And that is the part of scrim school that most people enjoy the most. It is your chance to play with these goats, get a chance to game with them, ask them questions, sit in a VC and talk and learn. So, we'll leave it open. If you have any questions, feel free to type. In the meantime, I forgot what I was going to ask you both as Elite was coming back because we got into the metas conversation.
You were going to ask the question prior, but you never said it.
I don't remember what it was now.
I couldn't tell you.
It's going to hit me halfway through scrims.
Somebody
like, oh!
Asked the question though, right? Or is that
I hit that
question?
One. That was the meta one.
Yeah.
Elite. How much do you spend at Micro Center weekly?
Way too much. If I could pull up my account of like what my Micro Center bill is, I would be a lot of money.
When are you going to get that keyboard sponsorship on breakable keyboards?
I don't know. I mean, when I had that Turtle Beach sponsorship.
Turtle Beach sponsorship.
They came in the chat, Phantom, and they said, you can do a durability test, and boy, did I do a durability
that shit,
test.
Bro. Oh, you definitely did. I saw the end of it.
I told them it was coming. They said, do it.
Yeah. All right, let me see. So, I guess we could talk about that. I mean, that's such a dead conversation, but thoughts on MNK versus controller? That's always a conversation.
See, here comes the, I just don't care. Like, it's a controller game at the end of the day. It was a console game. I've originally made a console with a PC beta
this
with
controller again.
MNK. Like, grow up, get over it. Who cares? Like, it just is what it is. I don't really think it matters, especially in Destiny 2, the casual looter shooter with PvP, PvP. Yeah, if you got outplayed, you just got outplayed. It is what it is. You know, MNK has a trillion bullet magnetism, better stability, range, movement option, and, you know, controller just has better stickiness and reticle friction. It
agreed.
It is what it is. Like,
I think they both have their strengths and their weaknesses, and the idea that it needs to be a one versus the other is such an old argument to me. It's so old. It's so played out. Everyone screams about which input is better for them. If the input is better, use it. If you don't use it, then don't complain about it. That's the way
I
see
it.
The thing
is, if you want to have MNK type movement, there's always controllers you can invest in. I have a Scuff Instinct. I got paddles. Mm-hmm. You know, I have adjusted high joysticks. Like, I move a lot faster. Some people think I Zim occasionally just because occasionally my movement looks fast enough to be like low sense MNK. If you want to play controller, there's options, you know, to still have that MNK movement. Even Bungie, you know, increased the sensitivity for controllers as well. Like back in season 15 from 10 to 20.
Yeah, I remember that update.
Adding ADS because you were set at one. There's not a thing you could change for controller. And they gave those options as well. Like, also being able to change your turn speed. Like, it just, like, it really is just pointless argument for Destiny. You know, use what you want, whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, I have clanmates that play both great and just prefers controller.
Yeah, I agree.
It is.
And that's one of those things, you know? I just am over that whole,
like,
argument.
Both MMOs are easy to learn. Like, I don't, you know, just don't be that Kovacs Andy, you know, it's
right.
Destiny 2. Like, the game has aimbot for you.
That's actually, that's a really good question to close out the conversation with. While everybody's here ready, warming up for the scrim portion, how do you both get better at aiming and understanding movement in Destiny? Because
I think at least you should answer this.
It's more
I've
just
seen
like,
this progress.
You can go first, Fenzo.
No, I think you should. I've seen you just...
I mean, it's more of just, like, predicting movement. I want to do better at, like, predicting people's movement so I can, you know, get my, you know, fight ready. The maps that we play are pretty repetitive, so there's ways to, you know, predict, you know, a slide, predict the peaks and all that. But, again, like, in a meta where, like, it's really easy to get up in front and just, you know, insta-TTK, there's not really much of, like, prepping. Like, most people nowadays don't prep for the fights. They just go in. And so, like, I feel like if I want to improve on this game and I want to see improvement in people, I feel like they just need to, like, try to slow down for a minute and just to see, like, if there's any, like, lanes they can take or prep to take because, I don't know. I want to get better at this game. I really do. But, like, another part of me says that, like, there's no actual improvement in this game. And the reason I say that is because that there are so many weapons, abilities, and supers and stuff like that. I just don't know how you can naturally improve at a game that has so many ways to help you, like, get kills.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think, like, in terms of, like, gunplay performance, I would say just, like, learn on how to predict lanes better and learn how to disengage from fights.
That's a huge one. Yeah. That is a huge one.
Yeah,
learn when you need to disengage.
You hold forward and you die. That's how it works. That's Destiny in a nutshell. Or at least that's how all my blueberries treat it.
Yeah, I think there's one piece of the conversation though, like the answer to that, like there are two parts. It is game sense, which is exactly what Elite, like that's what Elite said, but there's also the mental part. Like there's just sometimes just, you know, depending on like and I mean by mental, like there's some things that are just always gonna prevent you from being able to improve. There's just gonna be a place that you plateau. For me, you know, I have ADHD, like something like there's just a certain place I'm just never gonna reach. It's just not gonna happen. I think that's the one part of the conversation that people always forget. Like, you know, you can give so many tips and tricks, you can learn game sense, but sometimes, depending on the person you're just not going to be able to retain that knowledge.
Absolutely.
It's just not going to happen.
And see,
you know,
on my part,
to accept that. Like, I have a bad, like, just because of my ADHD, I have good aim. I just have a bad time staying alive. I just cannot, I have a hard time not moving. It's very difficult. I have a hard time, you know, playing against those that's in the very far back of the map. Like, you know, I'd usually perform pretty bad on Eternity because of that, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, see, I mean, my problem is I have the game sense. I have the understanding of centering on reticle. I'm inconsistent. I'm so inconsistent. If I'm on, fuck, I'm on. But if I'm off, I might as well just be playing with a monitor off all the whole time. So it affects everybody, right? We're all here trying to get better, as well as we're not just running in and running over and running out. And I want that to be a lesson to the viewers in chat to stick with it. You'll have your bad days. You'll have your good days. Watch your bad days back.
Yeah.
Watch your bad days back and see what you did wrong.
Exactly.
And change that for the next one. I am a huge proponent of recording your gameplay, not your good plays, your bad plays. Watch them back and go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have pushed that lane, or oh, maybe I should have realized that there were three on the
again
radar.
That's where I always you know, just for me personally, reminding that mental part, you know, you can always do that, but just remember, you're just like, you're not going to be the panda. There's only so many people that can be the panda, the wall of like the, I guess, trials, the fizzle. Like there's only so much you can do in free.
Well, I mean, even they have bad days, and they usually
like,
take time.
You know,
to
I know when I have my bad days, like I just know the aim's off, and it's just gonna be that day. I'm gonna make pretty poor decisions. You know, it's one of the things you kind of have to reflect on and take as much information that you can, and try to apply as much as you can. But you're not gonna be able to always apply everything. Some things you're just never gonna grasp, and so that's the one thing I would try to accept. Like, there's probably always gonna be one thing, unless you're like the panda, that you're just gonna just not quite be proficient at, something that you're just not gonna be able to learn.
Absolutely. All right, so chat, we are rolling into the scrim portion. We already have three in the waiting room. If you'd like to join, the rules are simple. They are at the top of the Discord under the Scrimcast rules. They're pretty light. they're actually really light compared to some of the other ones if you've played in Faceit or otherwise. The big thing is hop in the scrim waiting room. Mods, can I get you to monitor who's in and who came in? I know who our first three are. After that, as people flow in, I want to make sure that people get a fair shot. So let's switch to be right back. Let's get into the game and let's get it poppin'.